Hi, everyone, and thanks for being with us. This is Shai Danon from Israel, and I'm here with Barak, an Israeli. He lives abroad. At the moment, he's in the Mediterranean area with his camper van. We decided to arrange this broadcast, which will be recorded as well, to be shared as largely as possible around the world, given all the events since Saturday morning, which actually we realized and discovered this is from Friday night, has been going on. We will talk about this as well. We've decided to do this broadcast and to share this recording, and we ask you to do the same, to share this recording once it's out, because of the propaganda that we have in the mainstream media as well as in the social networks. Propaganda which appears to show truth in a very awkward way. Please stay with us. We'll start with a song. It's a cover made by a friend. His name is Alon, and he has done a cover for Fragile. Let us hear that, and we'll get back to you very shortly. Thank you. Please stay with us and share this podcast. Thank you very much.
If blood will flow, when fresh and still are one, shining in the color of the evening sun, tomorrow's rain will wash the stains away. But something in our mind will always stay. Perhaps this final act was meant to clean the lifetime's argument that nothing comes in violence, and nothing ever could. For orders born beneath an angry star, lest we forget how fragile we are. On and on the rain will fall, like tears from a star, like tears from a star. On and on the rain will say how fragile we are, how fragile we are. Da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da. Shining in the color of the evening sun, tomorrow's rain will wash the stains away. But something in our mind will always stay. Perhaps this final act was meant to clean the lifetime's argument that nothing came in violence, and nothing ever could. For all those born beneath an angry star, lest we forget how fragile we are. On and on the rain will fall, like tears from a star, like tears from a star. On and on the rain will say how fragile we are, how fragile we are. Yeah. Da-da-da-da-da. Like tears from a star, 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 yeah.
Hi, Barak.
Hi, Shai. So, shall we begin?
Yes, your voice Yes, go on.
My voice is okay?
It's a bit low.
Okay, I don't know how to raise it. So, anyway...
I'll do it from here.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, so just to say... we've decided to do this broadcast since it's quite important to put some proper information out there. Not to say we have the truth, only the truth and nothing but the truth, but we make an effort. We know our hearts and mouth are equal. We speak the truth and we try to keep sane, to keep sanity intact. And to think logically, given the big story or the big picture and the micro picture, which is highly important to consider both. Barak, do you want to start? Okay. Do you want me to show things? Please let me know.
Wait. No. I think that the first thing we need to do is to share a bit about ourselves. Because in the circles and the people that we are talking to, those are people that are conspiracy truthers, a researcher, people that are aware of the truth behind the scene, and they are very suspicious people, and rightly so. And I want to introduce briefly myself, and then Shai will also say, as much as we can say about ourselves, so you can see that we are not some kind of a, how they say it, like a institutionalized the propaganda or disinformation agents. They have a asbara. They have to say it in Hebrew, asbara. So basically about myself, and then Shai will say a few things. I've been a backpacker since the 90s in India. I spent many years in Asia. I've been many years into spirituality, like Vipassana, if anybody knows. And since then until today, I'm still like a kind of a nomad. My vision in life is to unite natural life, permaculture, spirituality, right kind of diet, which is peaceful diet. I am about peace, even though I'm a very fiery person. And we even though we are Israelis, I left Israel in 1995 pretty much. I think both me and Shai that we both been extensively out of Israel. Even though we're Israelis, we are still capable to be a very objective and factual about the situation and the history of this conflict. And we'll try to share with you information that you might haven't heard in all of these conspiracy movies about the Zionist movement and the Jews, which there is also a lot of truth in them. So we're going to try to share from what's happening now and also historical background. So this is me, a backpacker. I'm living now in a camper van somewhere in Greece. And Shai, please introduce yourself a bit.
Thank you, Barak. So my name is Shai, and I live in Israel in the last 15 years. I've been traveling a lot in India. I studied Indian classical music. I did myself, like Barak said, also a lot of Vipassana. Since 15 years, I'm an activist. I don't consider myself as such, but just to make things easier, you can call me an activist, a truther in the truth movement of Israel. I've conducted since before the corona, I've conducted hundreds of interviews with experts, scientists, doctors, whistleblowers, really all types of people from all walks of life, from all over the world. I had a YouTube channel with 25,000 subscribers from Israel and around the world. I'm quite known even in the truth movement around the world. I've interviewed, even yesterday, I was interviewed by David Icke, and probably this video is circling around at the moment. I'm trying to look after my family, my community, my people in the land of Israel. After many years, I haven't lived here in Israel. After saying that, I should maybe tell you again, like Barak said, I don't get paid for my work from any government agency, from any government department. I'm just a normal guy. I'm not an agent of any agency, nor get paid, as I said. I don't have hidden interests in what I do, apart from staying alive, keeping sane, looking after myself, my family, and my community, as I said, and moving towards prosperity and thriving. Not less than that. I'm not into surviving. I'm into thriving. And this is why it's important to do this broadcast, because at the moment we are all in a survival mode. I'm talking about those in Israel. It's really important to, it's really important for this broadcast to be shared as much as possible. What you're going to hear now is very relevant stuff, very actual stuff. We try to keep, again, strict with the facts and objective with the facts, given we know who our government is, we know who they work for, we know we the people are actually quite good people. And this is true also for many nations, not just for Israelis, obviously. Yes. After saying that, Barak, let's dive in. What would you like to start with? And I can show
like
you pictures and videos. Yes.
Wait with those things. Like it will come to that. Basically, now Israel has been experienced crimes on a biblical scale. If you take, we basically, what happened now in Israel was a terrorist invaded Israel, butchered children, women, men, families, murdered, raped, tortured, kidnapped, atrocities that are unbelievable and horrific to think about. And the thing that what is happening now is basically the 9/11 Israeli. It was an inside job. The facts are coming out of people that used to work on the border, they used to serve on the border, that what has happened was impossible to happen for as long as it happened without some collaboration, either from the government or the military or both. The same event has happened to Israel in 1973. There was a war that, according to history, now we know there is more evidence came out in the last years, how Israel, with collaboration with the US and Kissinger, cooked a small, what was supposed to be a little war in order to serve some agendas of the US with the powers against the Russia and selling weapons and all kinds of stuff. And it turned out to be one of our greatest historical disaster. So the same pattern is happening now. Like they removed like mines, landmines in those days before that happened for no explained reason. And then the Egyptian army came into Israel. The same thing is happening now in the north and many other things, which we don't really need to go to it at this point, but basically know that we are attacked from the outside and from the inside. Now, Israelis and Palestinians are both being the scapegoat of the Illuminati. They've both been used. This thing, actually, if you look, and I did send you, Shai, something about it, that one of the founders of the Illuminati and the Freemason talk about how they're gonna put the Zionists against the Muslims in a war that will destroy both. And basically, it's part of their plan to take over the world and have a satanistic controlled government, which its capital is going to be Jerusalem. So
this is from the UN, what you send me, the YouTube from the UN?
No, this is like a picture I sent you actually before. Okay. Of I forgot the name of it. It was one of the founders of the Freemason. It's like Pike or something, like a 33 degree Freemason. If you go scroll up, you may see it. So basically, we are both being played for many, many years. Actually, all the Middle East was divided by the British in an unnatural way. There were all kind of tribes, and they just grouped them together and created like a country by their own puppet leaders. And this is why there is so much chaos in all over, inside the countries, outside the Muslim countries. It's because those are tribal countries that are not suitable for the institution that they made, these fake countries. So we both understand, both Shai and me understand that we are like played. What I want to convey to people here in the conspiracy circles, we know the stories about the Khazarians. We know about the roles of very powerful Jewish families, or used to be Jewish families, like the Rothschilds. And so Jews have been portrayed since the Nazis and before, since ever, there is this expression, anti-Semitism. There is this thing about Jews and making like matzah bread with the blood of Christian children and stuff like that. So this thing, it's morphed into the conspiracy circles and still continue today by making the Jews as the conqueror of this land of Palestine, the country of Palestine, and we are basically illegal occupiers here. Now everybody might have sympathy for us for this atrocity that happened to us. I wanted actually to say, and I forgot, that if you take what happened in 9/11, that have like 2,000 people died in 9/11 and a few thousand injured, and you scale it to the size of Israel, we have 7 million, about 7-8 million people. In the US, you have about 340, 50 million. If you double the number of population, what happened now? It is as if it were in 9/11, percentage wise, like about 70,000 people were murdered in the US. That is equivalent in the numbers. We have about 2,000 people were murdered. They're still counting the bodies. We still don't know the full scale of this atrocity. And there is injuries. So you're talking about 70,000 people were murdered. Imagine 70,000 people were murdered in New York 9/11. City, and another maybe 100,000 people injured. Like, think about Pearl Harbor that caused what they did to Japan. There were also like maybe 2,000 people dying or so. So the scale of it, it's like, for us as a small country, it's unbelievable scale. Everybody knows somebody who got murdered, kidnapped, raped in this story. So I want to go back to the history that we know that some people, for example, from the Zionists were involved in 9/11. We know that. But what we want you to understand, that most of people in Israel, like 99.999%, have no clue about that stuff. They are victims of the same people. Israel is one of the most vaccinated, one of the most controlled country during the fake pandemic that happened here. So you can see we are the victim of the same powers that control everybody. It's not that because Israel is a country of the Jews, we have a pass and we are not suffering all these atrocities. We are victim of the same things. And what happened in the conspiracy movement that have to do with the lack of understanding or knowing of this deep level of history, which I can understand. I'm not as knowledgeable about what's going on in Ukraine. I'm not as knowledgeable about wars in Africa. So you see a few videos online and a few propaganda and a few fake stage Pollywood, which is like stage videos that the Palestinians, so-called Palestinians, make of all kinds of terrible things that supposedly Israeli soldiers doing to them. And you see it and you set up your mind that we are like Nazis, and we enjoy torturing and killing children and all of this stuff, which is complete opposite of the truth. I was in the Israeli army. I was in a special unit, and my kind of unit has the most terrible stigma, and I was in that unit. I tell you from the blood of my heart that we were so moral as you can be inside a military in a war zone. We were in a situation that we were surrounded by enemies. I was inside Gaza in a situation that you have shooting and stuff like that. And if you see, the rules was like that. If you see a terrorist with a weapon and is running away, you are not allowed to shoot him unless he's facing you. This is the level of insanity in the US. If you're a police officer, you will make the guy like full of holes. This is how strict we were. And also we are people. We are people of high morals, and we come to a family. Yes, there was suffering. There were children crying, but we were trying to prevent exactly what's happened here. Mm-hmm. If our neighbor were peaceful Norwegians, we will have no borders, no restrictions. We will go to Gaza to have the best hummus in the world and eat falafel. They would come to Israel and do whatever they want. We live like you live in Europe. You don't need the borders between Italy and Switzerland because you are not in the same situation. And the thing is that Europeans and Westerners don't understand. They don't understand the Mediterranean and Muslim mentality. They judge the reality according to what they know. They don't know. Even in Israel, we do that, that we project our morals, our standard, our culture, which is a lot of it is influenced by Europe, on there. And they are coming from a desert culture. There is one well. If another tribe drink from that well, he will be killed on the spot because it belongs to another land. So what we're going to try to share with you here is the understanding, the deep understanding of the historical background of this conflict, because what's going to happen is Israel going to start to retaliate. Israel, that is ruled by the same government that staged that thing, is going to start to attack Gaza now, and I don't know what they're going to do, but very soon all of you are going to start seeing these horrific pictures from Gaza, and you're going to blame us. Oh, we're going to kill children and stuff like that, which we have no choice because the terrorists there are hiding behind the children. So there is a very common theme that you see in the news channels all over the world is that they show you like, oh, Palestinian killed 2,000 Israelis, Israeli killed 10,000 Palestinians. You know, they put, so it's like scale. Who is more, who is evil? Who is more evil? The one who killed more people? So this is not how you measure it. If a robber come inside your house, a group of robbers, five robbers come to your house and they kill two of your family members and you manage to kill four of their family members, you are not measuring how many you killed of the robbers compared to how many of your family members they killed. This is not a measure of truth. The measure of truth is the circumstance. And the circumstance is, although Israel is the powerful one, we have the army, we have the technology, we've been attacked in this game of control above, yes? We've been, the Palestinians been used as the aggressive scapegoat, and we've been used as the victim scapegoat, although we are the stronger. The fact is, if the Palestinian came and say, we don't want any more. We want to live in peace with you and prove that in no time, there will be no walls. There will be no borders. Gaza will not be on siege. And they can come here. We can go there. What we have is all these measures that we have. They were imposed on us because of the situation of the Arabs being attacking us, trying to kill us for 70 plus years now. So this is my opening.
Let me add to that, Barak. Thank you. Look, Arabs and Jews are cousins. When you go back in history, we are cousins. Cousins argue sometimes. They fight sometimes. You can say also, I don't believe the Bible. That's fine. Doesn't matter. Let's go straight to here and now. And the last, let's say, century. It's quite known that the Zionist movement, which has in it, I should say, people with interests with bad agenda, but also have some Zionist people who have good agenda. You know, my parents, probably yours as well, they were Zionists. They were running away from the Holocaust, from Germany, specifically my parents came from Bulgaria. My mom was saved. My mom and her sister were saved by a Christian lady. They stayed there. They lived there for a few months and they prayed to Jesus because they were forced to do it because they had to stay alive. Okay, so the circumstances that my mom and my dad found themselves in where we need to survive, so we do what we can. The same goes also for the people of the Holocaust. The same goes also for the people of Gaza, who may live in not so pleasant environment at times. And I'm not trying to underestimate things. I'm just saying circumstances are created not by us, but by those who pull the strings. And, you know, the Second World War was engineered. The First World War was engineered. But when a war starts, or when something like that is breaking out, no one knows where it will lead. They just try to keep it intact and take it to where they want things to be taken to. So in the Zionist movement, you have those who do the bad things and the agenda, but also some good people, good-hearted people who are just trying to make a living.
Survive.
The people in Israel, I'm speaking now about Arab people in Israel, most of the time they live in peace with us. A lot of them also agree and admit that they prefer an Israeli government, doesn't matter now Zionist or not, but an Israeli government, because their life are much better than if they would be under a different government, in terms of quality of living, in terms of education, in terms of health, etc. That's one thing. The second thing is that if you speak with, you know, Jews from here, also Arabs from here, which are, let's say, 5th, 6th, 10th generation in here, in the Holy Land, they can tell you that before Zionists came here, things were more or less all right. Again, cousins, we argue sometimes, we fight sometimes, it's not perfect. We fight over land, over grapes, over figs, whatever. And of a religion here and there. But things were more or less all right. And then the Zionists came and things started to go really bad, escalating into more and more wars, more and more casualties. What we see today, and this is to continue what Barak has been saying, is an escalating of exactly that, of propaganda, of armoring kids and youngsters, giving them no hope when they are young, so pushing them gently and forcefully in many ways into life of terror, into life of cruelty, into psychopathism, into lack of compassion, and believing that this is life and that's it. You may think of it as someone, and unfortunately this happens as well, someone who has been kidnapped into sex slavery, a child, and he has no other ways or means to know life. For him or her, this is life. So they grow up in this environment, cruel, bad, as it may be, they don't know something else. So we're talking about a society that has been brainwashed into believing, and this is from very young age, that we, the Jews, are the enemy. Now, it's true that this thing happens also in some sects of Israel, in the people of Israel, that their kids grow up to believe that Arabs are the enemy. But like Barak said, the day that Arabs will put down their guns, there will be peace. The day we put down our guns, hell will break loose. And we don't want that. What we experienced in the last 3 days is a door to hell. A gate to hell has been opened. This is not in CERN in Switzerland, although a lot of the shit that is happening is coming out of Switzerland, or Liechtenstein and Switzerland. But this is like hell between people. We're talking about brutality that it's better not to mention and better not to see even, because it's really make it makes an imprint on your brain that you cannot erase, you cannot delete. This is like snuff movies. The stuff that we see here in the last 3 days, this is like really, really nasty stuff. You don't want to see it. And we are told that a lot of it is underreported, and I'll explain. It seems like the government of Israel is not showing a lot of the information, the movies, the clips, the videos, the pictures that is running outside on the internet for a few reasons. One, they don't want to depress the population. Two, they don't want to show Hamas that they succeed. And three, maybe it's to hide their bad deeds, meaning someone has allowed Hamas to enter Israel. We're talking about the maybe most secured border in the world. We talk about a fence with automatic systems that can track and shoot. We can see the tail of a fox in the night moves. Like, we're talking about surveillance that, you know, 5G and smart cities and 15-minute cities and all this is nothing compared to that. This is obviously taken from there. So, how come, let's say 1,000 Hamas terrorists, and they are terrorists, they are not militants, they are not soldiers, they are not freedom fighters. They don't come here to kidnap soldiers. They don't come here to kill soldiers. They come here to kill, to kidnap. I don't want to say even more things they do. Civilians, we're talking about grandmothers, we're talking about mothers, we're talking about children, we're talking about babies, for God's sake. They kidnap babies, and the videos are circling the internet, which I try, really try not to see. They're really, really bad. You cannot get moral support for that. And if you do, if someone is supporting this type of actions, you have to condemn them immediately. It doesn't matter who the baby belongs to. It doesn't matter what religion the child is born into by his parents. It doesn't matter. To have someone conducting such atrocities and harm to other beings
intentionally for children, intentionally for women. It's not like you have a terrorist factory of some bombs under Absolutely. Hospital, under kindergarten. They shoot the missiles from a kindergarten. So what are you supposed to do? The missiles go and hit Israeli civilians. So the military shoot back into that same place. Oh, it was a kindergarten. Oh, 10 children were killed.
And this is after they try not to do it. Okay, so the army, I mean, try not to shoot there because it's a hospital. And there's a picture. I'm going to show some pictures, and I'm going to run over them, and you will speak on them. But
okay,
before that, it's pictures you sent me before. But before that, I'm just saying, someone in Israel has opened the door, has opened the gates, made those who look at the cameras, made them die. Someone killed them before an alarm was triggered. Someone allowed tractors, vans, and armed terrorists, thousands of them, if not more, to enter into Israel to conquer something like 10 settlements, 10 moshav and kibbutz in the south of Israel. Thousands of Israelis were butchered. I want you to understand that. Take this slowly into your brain and your heart. Thousands of Israelis were butchered, and after, they still shoot the bodies. Hundreds of Israelis were kidnapped. I don't believe I'm even saying that. Hundreds of Israelis were kidnapped, including grandmothers, babies, children, mothers, hundreds of army were killed. I want to show you something. We were told, I'm going to show you a very short clip, 10 seconds clip. We were told that the attack broke at 6:30 in the morning of Saturday morning, last Saturday. And then I got a picture from a search engine, from Google, I think, showing that an Israeli broadcast, you know, bullshit information agency, mainstream media, put out that the event broke much earlier, 8 hours before that, or 6 hours before that. How can that be? I want to show you something. Stay with me 1 second. Let me find
what Chai is saying. It's like building number 7 that in BBC they told the building fell while it was still standing behind them. So also in Israel, in one of the news media website, before anything happened, they already reported it to happen. Yeah, like 10 hours before.
Yes, I'm going to show you this. It's I'm going to put the volume down because my son is at home. It's 10 seconds. This is nighttime. Let me, before I put it, this is nighttime. They chill out, they smoke a cigarette. This is soldiers in the base. They chill out. Probably it's around 11, 12 o'clock at night, maybe 1 o'clock, because it doesn't make sense that at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the morning when it's still dark, let's say, they're chilling out, smoking cigarettes. Most people are asleep if they are not on guard in some post, okay? So let's see this. It's 12 seconds. I want you to see that, and let me, we'll talk about it in a second.
It's not Abshai.
Sorry. Again.
Yeah.
Right.
I want to, you can say basically, I want you people to understand, if you don't live in Israel and if you don't give a fuck about Israelis, it's far away, somewhere in the Middle East, who cares? If Israel fall, the rest of you fall. We are a big, major piece of their puzzle. In order for this puzzle to be complete, this need to happen. So pay close attention. Don't feel happiness for our suffering, because it is coming to you.
And
try to spread the truth about it.
And let me add, the aim is the, listen carefully, the aim is the destruction of Israelis, not Israel. The aim of the Zionists, if you like, or the Cabal, the Satanists, or the globalists, the Illuminati, it doesn't matter now what name you give them. The aim is to annihilation of Israelis and the moral ground of Judaism, Christianity, which is the Torah. Once you eliminate that, you stay only with the shell, which is the government of Israel. Without the people, without us, we carry the moral, not the government of Israel. The government of Israel is controlled from outside. Controlled from outside by CIA, MI6, royal families, CFI. It doesn't matter now which even organizations. We can go into that in another broadcast. But at the moment, we try to do this service of objective, as much as possible, propaganda, objective information giving to you out there, which either get your information from mainstream media, which is bad, and even from social networks, which contains a lot of anti-Semitism, a lot of false information, fake information, misinformation, disinformation. And we know how they work, Barak, me, and some other here. We know how they work. And yesterday I gave this talk with David Icke, trying to, again, to open up the levels of control we live in. We are being held, listen carefully, we are being held as hostages here in Israel. Maybe I can go up on a plane and go out from here, but that's not what I mean. I mean that like in Maui or California or Greece, when fire breaks out, it was in order to move population from one area to the next, whether because they want the land or the oil or the diamonds or the lithium or the water underneath, or whether because they want to build something else in the same land or in the same area. They don't care about us, we the people. They don't care about us. They care, they want our children. They like suffering and how you say, akravat korbanot?
Yeah, it's blood sacrifice.
Blood sacrifice.
Yeah, ritualistic sacrifice. Most of these disasters, this, it's part of the thing. Shai, I want you to play the last link I send you. I send you also some pictures that are relevant again, because I want to emphasize, because people who watch us, you already know what's going on, the big picture, the plan, the New World Order and all of this stuff, and Israel, Jerusalem is the capital of the New World Order. This, what you've seen now, guys, it's probably the first shoot, the first like fire of the world, like Third World War, it's coming. This is maybe the beginning. I want you to see something about, because many of you might consider the Palestinian as or Palestinian government or this as fighting for the people, caring for the people. I want you to listen to this guy. It's the last link. His name, he has a movie about him in Netflix called The Green Priest. He was the son of the head of the Hamas in the West Bank. He's very high rank family. And he was about to become a suicide bomber. While somehow Israeli intelligence managed to get to him, and slowly, slowly they showed him that Israelis actually have no real bad intention, that everything we do is actually out of self-defense. And he left Gaza, he left the West Bank, he left his family, and now he's spreading the truth about the kind of mindset, the brainwashing, what they are telling them since they are little kids about Israel and how twisted their society is. This is him in the UN, and we're going to come back to the UN after that with some other pictures, exposing the hypocrisy of the Palestinian leadership, which wasn't elected, by the way, for the last 12 years. Okay, so can you play it?
Yes, here we go.
Israel, the occupying power, continues with its colonial policy and its daily violations. It continues to abuse, to arbitrarily detain, to carry out ethnic cleansing, steal land and natural resources, uproot trees, steal money, Israeli activity to Judaize Jerusalem, demolition of homes, confiscation of land and property, spoiling of natural resources.
Racist violations perpetrated by Israel.
Israel continues to commit various forms of human rights violations in Palestine.
Israel, the occupying power, is advancing in its efforts of mass colonization and continued apartheid, put an end to this colonialist regime.
Apartheid, atrocities and massive destruction inflicted on the Palestinian people.
War crimes, crimes against humanity, ethnic cleansing and state terror.
Thank you, United Nations Watch.
Shukran Sayyid Rais. I take the floor on behalf of the UN Watch. My name is Mus'ab Hassan Youssef. I grew up in Ramallah as a member of Hamas. I address the words to the Palestinian Authority, which claims to be the sole legitimate representative of the Palestinian people. I ask, where does your legitimacy come from? The Palestinian people did not elect you, and they did not appoint you to represent them. You are self-appointed. Your accountability is not to your own people. This is evidenced by your own total violation for their human rights. In fact, the Palestinian individual and their human development is the least of your concerns. You kidnap Palestinian students from campus and torture them in your jails. You torture your political rivals. The suffering of the Palestinian people is the outcome of your selfish political interest. You are the greatest enemy of the Palestinian people. If Israel did not exist, you would have no one to blame. Take responsibility for the outcome of your own actions. You fanned the flames of conflict to maintain your abusive power. Finally, you use this platform to mislead the international community, to mislead the Palestinian society, to believe that Israel is responsible for the problem you create. Thank you.
Okay.
They are shocked. So, I mean, those who listen, they are shocked.
Yeah, you couldn't see because it was written in Hebrew that many of the countries that were talking about human rights and all this, the North Korea, Pakistan, all these places that they, you know, murder, do all these atrocities, those are the country who criticize Israel. Like, do you know that North Korea is, I don't know, in charge of the World Health Organization? You know, North Korea care about your health. So there is a saying, the friend of my friend is my friend, the enemy of my friend is my enemy. What I like Shai to show, it's the last few pictures I send you, who is hugging there together, cheerful, with the leader or the founder of the what they call Palestinian people. Palestinian people, Shai said with David Eichest, they are Arabs who took on themselves a fake nationality. My father was born before Israel was founded. My father was a Palestinian. He had a Palestinian birth certificate. So anybody who is born and is not part of Israel is a Palestinian. You can be Jewish, you can be Christian, you can be Muslim. It's not like there is like a Muslim people that are have a nation. This is not the picture I want you to see. I want you to show them the picture with Klaus Schwab. Yes. So if you know who is this man is Klaus Schwab. If you are already awake, you know that this man is the enemy of humanity. Him and the other picture, you can see Klaus Schwab in the, this is with one of the Israeli traitors named Peres and Arafat. Arafat basically is Egyptian born. He's Egyptian, he's not Palestinian or anything. He was born in Egypt and he was by the New World Order, Freemason, who knows. He was sent to this part of the world and he founded in 1964, 60, he founded this concept that the Arabs that lived in this area are a nation called Palestine. They were actually objecting to be called Palestinians. They were Arabs. They were most of the people who call themselves Palestinians today, three generations later, are actually war immigrants who came to this part of the world in the beginning of the 20th century when the British were after the Ottomanic Turkish Empire collapsed and the British took over and the Jews started to come. There was a big demand for labor. So they start immigrating from all over Arab countries. And you cannot to this day that those people have a family name that is origin from those countries. So this is not a story. There is a story that's circulating with this little green map that everybody showed. They show it on the CNN and all of this showing how is the shrink, how it was like full with the Arabs, Muslim, all over this place. And then the Jews came, the white Jews, Khazarian Jews came from Europe and took over the land from these poor Arabs. This is not the truth. The land was desolate. There were many historic records that saying that the land was empty. Most of the cities, there was about 84% Jews in the big cities, in Jerusalem, in Tzfat, in Hebron. It was already majority of Jews that live, coexist with the local Arabs. They had no issue. So since the establishment of Israel, for about 20 years or so, there was like Arabs living in the West Bank and Arabs living in Gaza. Gaza was under Egypt. The West Bank was under Jordan. You never heard them until 1967. You never heard them, these people saying, we are Palestinians and we want a country, when they were under the Jordanian rulership or Egyptian rulership. The only time they start this lie of them starting to claim that they had the country here and they wanted the country back was after PLO was founded and after Israel took over those territories in a defense war. This stuff you don't know. So since 1967, they start with the support of the UN. The UN have an agency called UNRWA that for 70 years is giving money to these people by calling them refugees. So you can usually refugee all over the world. Let's say between India and Pakistan in 1947, they had a switch of population. There were a million of Muslims from India went to Pakistan and a million of Hindus went from Pakistan into India. You don't hear from the grandchildren of those people saying we are a Pakistani refugee or we are an Indian refugee. No, they are citizens of India, they are citizens of Pakistan. But this twisted thing that you have to understand, UN is our enemy. UN is an enemy against humanity, is the octopus hand of the Rockefellers who founded it and the Illuminati. So if the UN support an agenda, support these people as a victim, you have to be sophisticated and understand that this is actually a weapon. This is not for justice. Klaus Schwab doesn't care about the Palestinians. Klaus Schwab care about the agenda of depopulation and one world order. And the Palestinians are used as a scapegoat against Israel. And Israel is fighting back when we have no choice. And there is all these atrocities that happens. So what happened after 1967 is that the Palestinians that were, the Arabs that went, left Israel in that war, it was a defensive war. They went to Jordan, they went to Lebanon. Instead of completely being able to be part of society there, the Arab countries, Jordan, Lebanon, and whoever, put a label on them, say, oh, you are not part of our country, you are not part of our citizens, you are Palestinians refugees. And they restricted their rules, they didn't give them passports, that they couldn't buy land, and all kinds of stuff that left them in misery, and all of this in order to use as a weapon against Israel. So you watch these documentaries about Israeli soldiering, doing all these atrocities, there were some bad stuff. I was in the army, I know myself and the people I was with, I know the moral standard that we had. But I know from before there were some bad stories, and this happened in war, and people are not perfect. But the just overall...
Just to add, Barak, sorry. Never I heard, nor from my own experience, but never I heard that soldiers in the Israeli army, in the IDF, are speaking like, let's go and kill them. Let's go and butcher them. Let's go and torture them. Let's go and rape them. Let's go. We never.
Why talk? Let's say. Things.
We never
did
speak
you,
these words. Never. We don't if see life in such a way.
People don't do. Like they found now a woman killed that she was 9 months pregnant or something, and they cut her belly open and took the belly out. They took the baby out of the belly. These people have different mentality than what you are used to as a European, as an American. They are not, it's not that they were racist. If you take a baby of a guy, a baby from Gaza and put it in Switzerland, it will become a Swiss person with a Swiss mentality. It's not about a race. It's about the mentality. They have a mentality that make them to be what they are, unfortunately. Here you can see in this picture again, Klaus Schwab with the, what his name, the black guy who is the head of the UN, and Peres, which was an Israeli 33rd degree Freemason. And this, I don't know, Shai, if you can read for them quickly.
This is from Albert Pike, yes.
Yeah, Albert Pike.
Okay, shall I read all of it?
If it's easy for you, yes.
Yeah, sure. I can also, let's see, I can enlarge it even. No, I can't. All right. The Third World War must be fomented by taking advantage of the differences caused by the agentur of the Illuminati between the political Zionists and the leaders of Islamic world. The war must be conducted in such a way that Islam, the Muslim Arabic world, and political Zionism, the state of Israel, mutually destroy each other. We shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists, and we shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm, which in all its horror will show clearly to the nations the effect of absolute atheism, origin of savagery, and the most bloody turmoil. This is what we experience now, by the way. Then everywhere, the citizens obliged to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries will exterminate those destroyers of civilization. And the multitude, disillusioned with Christianity, whose deistic spirits will from that moment be without compass or direction, anxious for an ideal, but without knowing where to render its adoration, will receive the true light through the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer, brought finally out in the public view. This manifestation will result from the general reactionary movement, which will follow the destruction of Christianity and atheism, both conquered and exterminated at the same time. This is Albert Pike.
Okay. Continue with the picture. Come to the picture of the map of Israel in the Middle East, within the Middle East. It's like a red map. Not this one. It's like you see Israel in a very tiny spot, and we can go afterwards to this. Yes, this one. So I basically, you know, those people on CNN and in the media that accuse the Jews to come and take over the land of those Muslim poor people. I want you to see the size. Everything in red is the Muslim territory, and this little tiny blue. This is the only Jewish country in the world. And inside this Jewish country, there is 1.5 million Israeli citizens with the right to vote and any civil rights. They have better rights than us. They don't have to go to the army and all of this. Inside this little tiny thing, there is 1.5 million Arabs. There is all of these green maps that they show you how the Arab population shrinked inside Israel. It's not true. There is more Arabs today than ever in history inside an Israeli. And when you see this tiny piece, the eastern side of it is the West Bank, which is actually called by ancient Jewish name Yehuda and Shomron. Yehuda is from the word Jew, so it used to be a Jewish places all these years until recently, until 1967 or something. The cities were with the majority of Jews. They are now like controlled by Arab, majority of Arabs. Also, Eastern Jerusalem used to be a Jewish place. It was they were kicked out by the Jordanian, and now it's majority of Muslim Arabs. And in the south, we have Gaza. So when you come and say, oh, you are an occupier, you are still, look at this. Imagine you are playing, you see two children playing. One have 99% of the, I don't know, of the money of whatever, and one have 1%, and the one with the 99% is accusing the one with the 1% that is like unfair and is taking his stuff and stuff like that. This is the actual situation. I want to put some more information for you. From the 1948, when the time Israel was established, 850,000 Arab Jews. Israel is not all European, yes? Half of Israel are actually Arab Jews that they had to leave their country all over, from Saudi Arabia, from Yemen, from Egypt, because they were lynched, Iraq. they had to run to Israel, the new country that was founded. Their riches and land, the land that the Muslim world was stolen, took from them, is 1.5 times the size of currently Israel.
And where sorry, is sorry, Barak, sorry, just to add, the those who had to flee from Nazi Germany, okay, they were made to do so. And in 1936, 3 years before 1939, the beginning of Second World War, in Basel, Switzerland, in the Jewish Congress, what's his name? I forgot the name. He said, if the coming Holocaust will succeed, I can find this picture in a second, if this coming Holocaust will succeed, 2 million Jews will agree even to go and live in the desert next to Arabs, okay? So it was all planned from the beginning. Go on, sorry.
So basically I was saying about the 850,000 Arab Jews that came into Israel and the land that was taken from them. At the same time, you had about the same number of Arabs who lived, who's been at that time in Israel, and they were scattered around the Arab world. So there is basically, like what happened in Pakistan and India, there is an exchange of population. But yet you don't hear today, 70 plus years later, from the Arabs, Jews. You don't say, oh, we are refugees of Iraq. We are a refugee of Jordan. They are just a citizen of Israel. So how come the Arabs that live all over the world, 3 generations later, you can meet somebody who lived in the US and he can say, he's 20 years old, and he say, I'm a Palestinian refugee. How come you're a Palestinian refugee? So this thing was sustained by the UN and UNRWA in order to use the Arab Palestinians as a weapon against Israel. So when you are accusing Israelis as being occupiers and all of this stuff, just know the big frame of historical facts that you can just, if you're really interested, don't believe me, just go and research it, that this is what happened.
And again, here's the picture. I just found it. This is from Barry Chamish, an Israeli researcher who exposed the murder of Yitzhak Rabin, Israel Prime Minister. Is done by Israel itself, not by a guy who come to shoot him just out of nowhere. One second. So what we see here, this is from Barry Chamish video about Satanists controlling Israel. I can find the video and I will put a link into it in a second. But what we see here in this picture, and this picture is taken from his presentation, that at the 1936 World Zionist Conference, Chaim Weizmann said, perhaps only 2 million will survive the upcoming Holocaust. We're talking 3 years before the Second World War. Listen carefully. I mean, it's like showing building number 7 before it's falling, you know, behind the girl on the news, the anchor, saying building number 7 has fallen. It's all planned to lead the people of Israel into this land to be butchered, to be used by, to be slaves of, and to pay, and this also an agreement that Churchill has signed with Arabs, that the Jews will pay electricity and water for the Arabs in Israel. And this is what's happening till today, even in Gaza. We pay the electricity and water of those who are considered to be or called Palestinians, okay? So perhaps only 2 million will survive the upcoming Holocaust, but they will be ready for life in Palestine. Do you see what's going on here? The people of Israel are being used without their knowledge, without their consent, obviously, again and again and again, by bloodthirsty regimes, by really cruel cult. And there's few targets or few agendas here combining together. One is to get rid of Jews, get rid of the Bible, get rid of morality. Because if you like, the slogan of Illuminati is get rid of morality, okay? They are the Freemasons, they are free from what? From moral, okay? For those who don't know, the Freemasons are free from morality. They don't have the morality like normal human beings have, okay? So basically, now we get an update. There are alarms in one of the towns in Israel again. We're afraid this is just the beginning, as Barak said in the, at the beginning of this broadcast. So basically, the people of Israel are being used maybe since the days of Pharaoh of Egypt till today, being used by the same evil forces, maybe backed by demonic figures and entities, bloodthirsty Satanist cult, in order to advance their agendas and their interests, which are about resources. It can be land, it can be water, it can be oil, it can be gold. But nowadays, which is something in a way really important, which I forgot even to tell David Icke yesterday. See what happens. I learned this from Alison McDowell in the last 3 years. What has been happening, they are changing their monopoly game, if you like. Because resources of this planet, or at least the known territories of this planet, okay, are running out. This is according to Club of Rome and according to many, whatever, figures and institutions, etc. They discovered all the oil, all the minerals, all the water. They need a new monopoly game. They need a new source of income, if you like, a new source of energy. And now we come to men and women themselves, into their bodies. So they create this amazing pandemic with its, you know, PSRs, injections, etc. We're talking about biosensors. We're talking about 5G. We're talking about getting information outside of your body, from your cells, from afar. A camera can track you and can, or whatever other device, doesn't have to be a camera, even your router at home can know what's your blood pressure, your temperature, etc. If you're diabetic and you're going to eat some sweet, you're not allowed to, etc. So maybe we are not there yet, but this is the new monopoly game that they are playing. They are changing
the fourth industrial revolution.
The fourth industrial revolution, which is the fourth Reich, okay? They are changing the game. But as long as they still play, as long as they still own the board, that's fine. They don't care even what game they play, as long as they control the board. And this is what's been happening now. And again, we're talking about population management. That means, that's another angle. I say it quite a lot in Hebrew, but it's important to say it also in English. What has been happening, if you think about Maui and taking population and moving it to elsewhere, or California, or Australia, or Greece, whether it's fires, floods, earthquakes, or wars. So at the moment, I just remember how many people got killed, and we don't even know the full scale of it, but many, many Israelis got murdered in the last 3 days.
The pictures, I know it's a sidetrack. You see like this family, father and wife and two kids who are like maybe 6, 7, and they're on the floor. The father is already shot and they are going there with the terrorists. Can you imagine like the stuff that's going on there? Like the killing, who they start killing? The children in front of the parents, or the parents of them, the children, and then they take the little girls and they rape them. This is a different culture that we are dealing with, and
let's not go there again. I don't repeat that.
But I want to say that inside the Muslim, among the Israeli Arabs, Muslim citizens, there are voices in the Arab world that show sympathy, that show solidarity, that want really peace, that they say, if you are a believer of Allah, of the Quran, how can you kill other people? This is like basic, like we are all creation of God. I'm sure God didn't create us, at least. We are not like need to feed on each other, that we need to kill each other. And when I see these people, it really brings so warms my heart so much and bring tears to my eyes. There is many things about the Muslim and Arab cultures that I like. I like their food. I like their music. They are very heart-based, very emotional kind of culture. But they are being, when you are a very kind of not sophisticated mentally and you are very heart-based, emotional, you are very easily manipulated. And this is what has happened to them. And through them, they also manipulated you. They are giving them. They are giving them this kind of patriotic vision that they can nationalize vision, that they can have a country where Israel is, another country on the West Bank. Because look at the absurdity. Like, we left Gaza in like 2005. Israel left. I was in Gaza as the army. We left completely. We had no army in Gaza. The border with Gaza was open with Egypt. It's another Muslim country. They have a border with Gaza. We didn't siege them. If they were not violent, they could have come inside Israel. So they had a border, open border with Egypt, another Muslim country. Muslim deal with Muslims. At the same time, Gaza people got more money to rebuild Gaza after 2005 when Israel left Gaza, more money than Germany got after Second World War. And the dream was that they will build the new Middle East, that they will build hotels and businesses, and it will be like a beautiful place to visit, and the borders will be open, like between Switzerland and Italy. But instead of that, the leaders stole the money from the people and used that money through the power that be and their agendas in order to launch tens of thousands of rockets on Israel and do what they do now. So we are... We are both played. I want to say one more thing, Shine, I'll let you in. We are both played. I want to say also the Israeli side has been, there is a very good program about this guy used to be in the KGB that shows how to collapse society from the inside. The same power that sponsored this nationalistic dream and terror in the Palestinians were also infiltrated into Israeli academy, media, politics and everything. We have no right wing in Israel. Mr. Bibi Netanyahu is a globalist leftist. He just pretend to be a right wing person. And what happened is that Israelis, through this impossible situation that we have, these people living in terrible condition and under our rulership, at least in the West Bank, that we have a lot of guilt because we have necessity to protect ourselves, but in the process we also hurt the innocent. And so there is in the left, in the Israel, there was a big movement of left that was like in the US, you can see Black Lives Matters and stuff like that. It's the same kind of thing that they really one-sided with the Arab so-called Palestinian. And then you see all of these stories coming out of Israel and say, oh, look, even an Israeli soldier said that they're doing all these crimes against humanity. These people are as objective as Black Lives Matters in the US about American politics. They're showing you a twisted pictures. There are bad cases. Innocent people do terribly get injured, died, killed, but it's all unintentionally. Do you know that while Israel gets tens of thousands of missiles from Gaza, the rule is before you bomb a place that there are terrorists there or a factory or something, Israel have to shoot a missile without explosive just to warn the people that they have to leave the house, the terrorists also. So they're going to bomb that place.
They also throw leaflets from the air to warn them that they're going to be bombed very soon.
Leaflet, text messages telling them, leave this area, we're going to explode here now. We go through unbelievable measure to save innocent life, and the terrorists on the other side take advantage of it. So they use their civilian as a human shield. But yet people get killed. And then you see, oh, we had 1,000 Palestinian dead, and we have 300 Israeli dead. So Israel is the bad guy. Just wake up. See who is behind the so-called Arab movement, the UN, UNRWA, Klaus Schwab. Understand that these people couldn't care less about them. They are using them, and the Arabs are victims. I wish that the Arabs could understand and know what I know, take yes. the weapon down, and come, and we all hug and eat a big, good hummus, because the best hummus in the world is an Arabic hummus, and I really like hummus. Shai.
Before I was saying that a lot of people got murdered in the south, and they evacuate others towards the center of Israel. At the same time, they evacuate places in the north towards the center. This is part of Agenda 2021 or 2030, which is taking population into major cities, into buildings, and moving them away from countryside, from landscapes, from where the actual God's creation is, not in cement and tarmac, but outside in the land with the plants, with the fruits, with the animals, with the air. I'm not talking even about weather modification. I'm just saying what they do with fires and floods and earthquakes, they can do with war, and this is controlling population and moving population from one area to the other due to whatever crisis is out there at the moment. Okay, now I was saying in 2020, the beginning of this bullshit, I was saying that the aim in Israel is to have mishtar tzvai,
military zone control. Or
okay, to have military control in Israel. I said that they will divide Israel to areas, and they will divide cities into quarters in order to make it easier to control the population. This is exactly what's been happening now. Yesterday, one town in Israel has announced that in order to manage everything, they are deciding to put into play the quarters they have already agreed to divide the city into. Israel has been divided. Martial law. Thank you, Mati. Thank you. Martial law. Like they did, by the way, after 9/11. Okay. I mean, the Patriot Act, it wasn't martial law, but advancing the regulations in order to control the population and make the population do what they want them to do. So they're advancing this while we speak. At the same time, 3 months ago, roughly, few settlements in the north got a notice from the Israel authorities that they have to evacuate very soon because an attack is coming from the north. They didn't evacuate back then, and they organized themselves with guns and weapons to protect themselves. Nothing happened back then, but see what's happening now. They are evacuating. Again, there is, like David Icke is saying, problem, reaction, solution. The problem is here. The reaction of the people is what? Protect us, okay? Now, I'm all for protecting myself. That's why I went to apply for a weapon license today, etc. But most people, they don't think about that. They just say, we have an army. We have the best army in the world. We have the best police force in the world, etc. They should protect us. So the reaction is, please protect us. And the solution, if you want us to protect you, we have to take you from where you are, from your home, because you are too scattered. We don't have maybe the vehicles. We don't have enough manpower. We don't have enough whatever to be able to protect all of you the way you are spread around. We have to move you in order for us to protect you. So you need to understand that the problem reaction solution here is a mind fuck, is a mind game on the people. They don't see that they are being played. And this is really crucial to understand, because once you understand, like Barak said, we are not enemies. We should go and eat hummus together. But we are both being played. It's for me to say these things at the moment. Let's go and eat hummus together. Probably I can be crucified by fellow Israelis, you know. But the truth of the matter is that both sides are being played by bastards like Klaus Schwab, like prime minister here, prime minister there, prime minister. Now everyone, Trudeau, Macron, everyone is sending their troops. Who the fuck are you, Trudeau and Macron? Who the fuck are you? You've been giving injections to your people as well. You've been giving them masks, mandates as well, and PCRs and bullshit pandemic by the same World Economic Forum. We don't need your help. Some Israelis are saying, yes, they are coming to help us. No, they are coming to make martial law here. Because very soon, I don't know how long the Israeli army and the police force will hold after being injected so many times with poisons. I don't know. So maybe, yes, it's good if others to come and help us. But no, what I'm saying is that we, the people, we have to have guns. We have to have guns to protect ourselves. And in the last decades, they've been removing guns from people. Only if you work for the police. Only if you work for the fire brigade. Only if you work for whatever agency, government agency. Okay, then you can have a gun according to certain things. Even now, if you want a gun, you can go and volunteer in the police force. But then what they will ask you to do is not to protect your family. You can go and find yourself doing other things for them. And we don't want that. Someone has put a price tag on our head without our knowledge, without our consent. We are in this deep shit. Now, it's not just deep shit. It's really cruel, deep shit. And we don't want to do it. We don't want to do it. And I'm saying that because at the same time that I'm saying everything I'm saying, we are going to do it. Israel is strong. The people of Israel are strong. We forgot what it's like to be strong because all of us are now, you know, we live the good life, so to speak. So to speak. Startup nations, high-tech companies, he did exit, the other one did exit, he makes 40,000, he makes 400,000, you know, all this bullshit, he drives this car, he drives the other car, like in other Western countries. But don't you have mistake here? We are really strong in our spirit. We have God behind us. Not some bullshit demons, not some bullshit entities back from Babylon. We saw what they did back then. And God told to the people of Israel, you don't worry about them. You just go. I'm behind you. I'll take care of them. I will clear this place for you. And this is what happened. So don't you even for 1 minute think that we are going A, to give up, B, to fold our tails, and C, to hide and run. We are not. There are people who are saying, this is especially for you, Barak. There are people who are saying, leave the country, come to Greece, come to... Hello, I go to Greece, there will be a flood. What the fuck? It doesn't matter if I'm running from water or running from a machete. Yes, one is more cruel. That's what I'm saying. They specifically, for us, they bring the cruel stuff. Videos that we saw in the last, I don't know, decade or so of ISIS and Daesh chopping head, beheading people, you know. This is coming here now, not in the border. This is inside our land. So don't you think for 1 minute we're going to give up. We are the people of Israel. We are a lion. And yes, for many years now, we were cubs. But it's time to stand up and roar. We are not going to give up. We are not going to leave this land. We are not going to forgive our government. Those who betrayed Israel are going to pay. And they will pay this, maybe like in France with the guillotine, in the public arena, you know. Everyone will see what we do to traitors and what we do to those who come and try and kill us and try and kill our babies. This is not something you do. And when you do, you have to pay for it. As bad as it sounds, and I'm not a soldier. I'm not someone who calls for violence. Even now, I'm not calling for violence. I wish all this would not be here. I wish all this would stop yesterday, the day before, and not even start. But once it started, and I didn't start it, someone has to pay for it. I want to read you something. This is in Hebrew from Tehillim. Ashrei ha'ish asher lo halach be'atzat reshaim ובדרך חטאים לא עמד, ובמושב לצים לא ישב. כי אם בתורת אדוני חפצו, ובתורתו יהגה יומם ולילה. והיה כעץ שתול על פלגי מים, אשר פריו ייתן בעיתו, ועליהו לא ייבול, וכל אשר יעשה יצליח. לא כן הרשעים. כי אם כמוץ, אשר תדפנו רוח, על כן לא יקומו רשעים במשפט וחטאים בעדת צדיקים, כי יודע אדוני דרך צדיקים ודרך רשעים תובד. People of the world, I want you to hear something really, really clearly. Those who do bad deeds, those who worship the other side, those who do all the bad things that we, with high morals, know that we not allowed to do, we don't want to do, we never dream of doing, not even in our thought, in our lips, nothing. We have to face the consequences of what has been thrown in our yard, and we will do everything it takes to eliminate those, because we are commanded to eliminate the seed of those who come to harm us. God bless you all. Barak, if you have something to add, that's the time, and if not, I think it's enough.
Yes, Shai, I want you to read the last thing. I just sent you something. I want you to read it. You see it?
Yes.
Okay. This is Golda Meir. She used to be an Israeli prime minister, and I think that what she says about our predicament is very true.
I'm reading. We can forgive the Arabs for killing our children. We cannot forgive them for forcing us to kill their children. We will only have peace with the Arabs when they love their children more than they hate us.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I hope this broadcast will be shared widely around the world. You need to remember, we are not here to hate, but we will not sit quietly when our children are being murdered. Never. Thank you very much, Barak. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. I will put, just one second, that's my Telegram channel. I just put it here. And that's my platform after YouTube deleted my channel. And if you like to support, you can. I will put this recording on my Telegram channel and obviously on my platform, Alive 528. Thank you very much, Barak. God bless us all. All the best. Bye-bye.